The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, my name's JC Wallace, and I'm from St. Louis. I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 491 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show today is Mr. Christopher Eliopoulos. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Mike. How's the weather going up there? We finally got a nice warm weekend this weekend, and I was sitting outside for a little bit. How about up in north
Yes, the
Massachusetts area?
The temperature is about 92, 93. It's very warm. So make sure you water the plants and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's spring. Spring has it's summer, I guess.
We'll see. I was out running today. It was hot, even at 7 o'clock in the morning. It started to get really hot, so was feeling it. So I've got a song for the day, which is "Waterloo" by ABBA.
ABBA. They've been long time ago. Yeah,
I know. Well, I figured you maybe would know it at this point, right? It's like a band you might be aware of.
That's right. We don't have Miss Michelle is. Again, on the road. She's not coming back from South Shore. And she was hoping to be back in time to do the recording. But, oh well, she's not here. So it's you and me. So as far as the shout-out goes, I want to give a shout-out to our guests from the previous show, Joe Kalinske and Mitch Brennan. We talked about their involvement with the U.S. Marine Corps Marathon and Dawes and everything. And I think I want to give a shout-out to both Mitch and Joe because this has been 2.5 years that they've been working on this. This is not an easy thing that they were able to accomplish to get in a partnership with the U.S. Marine Corps, and I just want to give them a lot of props and also want to thank them for allowing us to talk about it on our show and how they're partnering with us and raising money for families that deal with SMA, which is spinal muscular atrophy, and how it is a crossover assistance to give kids the world. So good luck, Joe. Good luck, Mitch. God bless you. All right. And a tip. One of the things that I always want to make sure people do is not waste time and not waste money when they're down in Walt Disney World. And one of the things I want to caution people who have not been down for a while and who may not be aware of this is that you have to be very careful that you don't overdo it when you book your dining reservations, especially for those people who love to go with, oh my God, they get, you know, free dining. And one of the problems is that if you do have free dining, you really need to make sure that you book the restaurants you want to go to, make sure that you have them in, and then you have to commit to a lot of time. So you have to be careful. And the other thing is that nowadays, if you book at any sit-down restaurants, most of them, you have to give them your credit card reservation. So, you have to give them a credit card so that they can hit you.
Charge you if you don't show up.
Yeah. And so you have to be very careful. So my recommendation, my tip is that try to schedule just one real nice sit-down meal every day. And the other two meals, you know, you can figure something out because your time is very valuable down there and your money is very valuable. And just try to do it that way. And I think that would be more than enough to keep you going. So that is my tip.
Plus, you have to eat an awful lot on those plans. I can never eat all that stuff.
It's just too much time, Chris, you know?
Yeah.
Because you end up spending about 1.5 to 2 hours at a restaurant. So
even a counter service, you can be stuck there a while, especially with all the lines.
Yeah. So while Michelle isn't here, so Chris and I thought about we'd do something that we really enjoy, and I know Michelle enjoys this too, but we've done it in the past. It's called Shove It or Love It.
Nope.
Love It or Shove It. And it's basically a topic or something that we would bring up that is something that has happened at Disney World or has been brought up or created or has arrived at Disney World within the last 10 or 15 years. It could be an attraction. It could be a policy. It could be a whole bunch of things. And, you know, how we feel about it. Do we embrace it, which means we love it? Or do we say, you know, we don't need it, and we would say shove it? So we have a lot of them, so this could be a two-show, shove it or love it. And so we'll see what we get to. And we'll go with Chris. We're going to have you start us off. Give us the first one.
Yeah, so when I went into this one thinking, I wanted to think of ideas that were a possibility with Disney, something they might do in the future, and see how we feel about it. Obviously, it's never the things I wrote have not happened. So they're, but they're an idea of like, would you be willing to do this or not? So my first one is like a two-parter. It's based around the Fast Pass, and so the first idea, which I thought Disney would do at some point, they've mentioned it in the past, for an add-on for deluxe hotel guests or perhaps even value or moderate. You pay an additional fee, and you get shorter wait times to get in, and maybe get an extra one or two fast passes for the day. So basically, you know, if you're staying at a higher end hotel, which you know provides other luxuries, maybe you know you have a little add on there, which will give you a little bit of special fast pass enjoyment. Mike, love it or shove it?
I think, Chris, that's actually in the works.
I've heard them saying things like that. It was a rumor going around for a while. They thought that's the way it was going to go, but I don't think we've ever really truly discussed it as a possibility. And what are the good and the bad sides of this?
Yeah, I think that one of the things we heard was that depending upon what level of hotel you're staying at, you would get certain perks, and one of the perks would be, you know, be able to get Fast Pass or whatever. I think I'm going to say I love it, and I'll tell you why.
Really?
I think that one of the things that I know Len and I have always talked about, we've had a few beers over this, and that is that we think that the Walt Disney Company does not treat its best customers in the best possible manner. Its best customers are those who have annual passes. Its best customers are those who are DVC holders. And I think that this would cater to the frequent visitors. And I think that the frequent visitors would go for this. And so I think it's sort of a reward to them. And at the same time, for those who are not frequent visitors, those who get to go maybe once every 2 or 3 or 4 years, this gives them an opportunity to say, well, you know, I'm not coming back for 12, 15, 18, 24 months. So why don't I take advantage of this? And yeah, it's going to cost me a little bit more, but I've been saving up for a long time. I'm going to take advantage of it. So I think it's a win-win situation. So I kind of love it.
Oh, wow. See, I thought it was going to be the opposite for you, because I kind of figured anytime they add on money or something like that, or an additional fee, it kind of irks you a little bit. But because I was thinking that too. I was like, you know what? I might pay a little bit extra. I mean, I've done things like we've gone and taken the VIP tours, which is going to throw me into the second part of this love it or shove it idea. And that is, we've done the VIP tours, and with a VIP tour, you get like a cast member who kind of shows you around the parks, and you get to be put on the Fast Pass line on whatever ride you want to go on as many times as you want to go. And I think, because I can't remember, I did the Universal and I also did the Disney, and I think you might get lunch with that. I probably should check with Becky, because she was the one who kind of expedited this whole thing. But so my other thought would be, say you don't really want that VIP guide, the tour guide. Would you like it if they offered a tour guide less VIP tour? So for 8 hours, you would get to go around the parks, get to go on any ride you want to go on, as many times as you want it, you get on the Fast Pass line for just maybe a couple hundred dollars less than a VIP tour. Would you like that, or would you love it, or shove it?
I don't know how much a VIP tour goes for. Is it $350 a person? Something like that.
Yeah, it's fairly. Well, there's two tiers, I believe. I think there's the private one where you can just get your own and you can have them walk you around, or it's a group. Like you just join up with a whole group of people and they have a preset plan of where to go. So this would sort of be like the private tour where you could just walk around and do your own tour. And like, so say your kids love Space Mountain and they want to go on 15 times in a row, you could go do that. But it's an 8-hour tour. You don't get a full day. You get the tour as if it were a normal one.
So with the paid one, with the VI, with the ambassador or whoever, mm-hmm. the tour guide, I mean, you're forced to be there for 8 hours, but if you don't have the tour guide, who's to say you're not going to be there for 8 hours? I don't know.
Unless there's a check-in and a check-out type of thing. I mean, the good thing about the VIP tour as well is that you can go park to park much easier. Like when we went, they had a car that like so the drive the tour guide could take you to say like we want to do four parks in one day, and so they take you behind the scenes. You jump in a car and they drive you to the next location. We actually when we came in into the Animal Kingdom, they actually took us the back way in. Into the dinosaur ride, mm-hmm. So we came in through the exit where you know the store is and got on the ride from there. So it was interesting that you know they can bring you in through back way, so that you save a lot of time with doing that. But I'm saying like you know I don't know how much less, but maybe there's a plan in place to make sure that you check in the morning at a certain place, and then 8 hours later you have to check back in, and it could be obviously put onto your wristband. Right, because I mean they have that all covered. So once the 8 hours is up, it just stops.
Yeah,
it no longer works in the fast pass.
I wanted to mention one of the reasons why I liked. I said I love it is because it's a volunteer kind of a thing. It's not like they're shoving money. They're forcing us to pay. This is right. An elective kind of a thing. If a guest wants to pay that extra money and get the extra convenience. Fine. Yeah. If not, fine. So that's a little different than saying, okay, if you want to go on the Magic Kingdom, you're going to pay $112, you know, for one day. So that's why I kind of lean towards it.
Yeah. I mean, again, when I went into this, I kind of thought of things that, you know, Disney has done similarly in terms of, like, look at the parking. They want to give you, like, a higher-end parking. They're going to charge you for it. So if you want a higher-end, you know, Fastpass, you know, thing, you can pay for it. So, you know, we know Disney. If there's ever a way to have you spend more money, they'll try it. So, all right, let's hear yours.
Okay, I was thinking that Extra Magic Hours has been pretty successful, and mm-hmm. I think that for a lot of most of us who list most of our friends, we actually always stay on the property. But there are those people who, you know, they really want to stay off property because it's less expensive and it's just gives them a chance to get away from all the Disney madness. And so I was wondering if it would be something that Disney would consider to say to those people who are staying off the property, if you want to take advantage of Extra Magic Hours that are offered to our guests, then if you could pay a 20% surcharge on your tickets, then you will be allowed to go in for Extra Magic Hours. Now, from a guest perspective, I would say shove it because it's a perk that I'm getting because since I'm staying on the property, I'm paying premium prices for my room. These people are not paying premium prices for their room. And so for an extra whatever it is for the ticket, they get to do what is my privileged perk. So right. I don't like it. I want to say shove it, but I thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah, no, I think from two places I agree that it should probably be a shove it. I think from Disney's perspective, it doesn't serve them well. The idea of trying to get people to hotel in the resort. It goes beyond just the resort prices. It's you're there all the time and you're going to be buying food there. You're going to be spending money on merchandise there. You're going to go back to your hotel and get a drink in the bar there. They stand to make more money by having you stay on property than to go off property. So the idea of Extra Magic Hours is really like the Vegas thing. It's like they're enticing you with the food bar and, you know, so you'll stay and gamble more. And so it's that kind of model. So I think for Disney, it doesn't make sense to even allow somebody to come in for an extra hour in the morning or at night for 20% or whatever the cost is. And as a guest too, I also feel like, yeah, I'm paying those prices to stay in a hotel on property for convenience and also for the extra little perks I get. And if they start having so many more people who are showing up who don't stay in the resorts, it lessens my experience because now I'm dealing with longer lines, more people, and then it becomes less worth it to me to, you know, to stay at a hotel on property. So I think we're both in agreement on that one.
I think you're right. Yep.
So
okay, you're up.
All right. So this one is kind of topical. And I don't think we've ever talked about this, but it's going to lead into probably – this question I was thinking would probably lead us into another full episode probably down the line a little bit. But Marvel and Universal come together and make an agreement. Now WDW can have characters and attractions based on Marvel characters in the parks. Love it or shove it, they changed Tower of Terror into a Guardians of the Galaxy ride just like they did in Disneyland. What do you think?
I'll tell you, that agreement is ironclad, and I don't know if it'll ever change. I think we're probably, I want to say 35, between 35 and 40 years away from that going bye-bye.
You never know.
It's only
you never know.
Well, I know. You never know. It's for those. It's only for our Disney parks east of the Mississippi.
Correct.
Now, I
say they make the deal. Say it happens at some point. Universal, you go to Universal, it's old Disney. It's 1990s Marvel stuff. I mean, it's very old school. It's not up to date with the movies today. I don't know if it's doing that well in terms of, like, you know, whatever. I mean, I know they just redid the Hulk ride and stuff, but I think if they made a right deal with Disney, they could take back the Marvel characters. It could happen. More, you know, Disney's got a really good set of lawyers, and they've got a lot of pull. So,
yeah, So this is a little bit. So my take and my opinion on this sort of goes a little bit beyond Marvel. And mm-hmm. one of the issues I have is the changing of Hollywood Studios over the years from MGM to Hollywood Studios. When it first opened in '89 and '90, it was really quaint. It was a working studio. It was really cool. It was 1940s Hollywood. Now I see, you know, Star Wars, and I see Pixar, and now, you know, you're bringing in Marvel, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, where's all the Disney legacy stuff? It's all going on. And now, and even, I mean, as far as Pixar goes, they purchased Pixar, they purchased Marvel, they purchased Lucas. I just have a problem with that. I think that it could work as long as it's controlled. I even had a little bit of an issue when Disney almost acquired the Muppets back in the early 90s. I came so close to saying, I don't know if I really like that. I mean, I grew up with Walt Disney. I grew up with Mickey Mouse in the 50s and everything. So maybe it's just me. So I think, Chris, that if it was controlled, I think it would be okay. But I'm seeing like a steroid kind of injection with Star Wars. I mean, you've been to the studios and you've seen all the Star Wars stuff. And, you know, I enjoy Star Wars as much as the next person. But, you know, maybe all this stuff, maybe there should have been another. And it's financially inconceivable that anyone could afford to build another theme park. But how about a futuristic theme park with Star Wars and with Marvel and things like that, and Pixar? Maybe that should have been there, and maybe MGM Studios or Hollywood Studios should have stayed the way it was, dealing with television. It doesn't deal with television anymore. So I'm going to respectfully say shove it.
Okay. You don't like the idea of the Guardians?
Well, if I want to see it, I'll go out west.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it also comes down to beyond that. It also becomes, dealing with new blood versus the classics. Like, you know, do you leave a classic or do you change it? You know, what was right. Walt's vision versus what we do now? Like, you know, would Walt have said, you know, I want to see everything get better. You know, I'm not beholden to anything. We need to always improve. But if the improvement is just tagging on, you know, another name to a ride, is, you know, or an attraction, is that good or bad? You know?
Yeah.
So that's sort of my thing. So
okay.
So go ahead. Well, let me hear. What's your next one?
My next one is something that I thought would be something that a pretty large chunk of people would go for, and that is if you are booking a Disney vacation, or be it Disneyland, Disney World, Adventures by Disney, Disney Cruise Line, would a lot of people, well, let me ask you, Chris, would you love it or shove it if you were given the opportunity to say, they would say to you, well, Chris, if you would like, we will, your trip, which you booked 12 months ago, is, and you're staying at the Yacht Club, and you're staying there for a week, and it's going to cost you, you know, X amount of dollars. If you would like, we'd be more than happy to give you the opportunity to pay us on a monthly basis with an automatic payment from your checking account. That is, instead of paying one night now and then paying a lump sum before you get there, we can divide it over the time that between now and then. And whatever you want to do every month is fine, as long as when you arrive, if there's any balance, you finish it off. How would you feel about that? Love it or shove it?
I love it. I think that's actually a great idea. I mean it's obviously, you probably keeping the money in your bank account earns more interest, but it's negligible. But I think a lot of people rely on things like this, where basically you're putting down payments on your vacation. And some people need that. You know, it's sort of, if you put down whatever, $100 a month, I think a lot of people would love something like that, where you feel it's not such a big nut when you get down there. Like, it's not like this big lump sum and you're just like, oh God, because it's nothing more horrifying when you go on a trip and you're enjoying yourself and then the bill comes and it's this whopping bill and you're just like, gah. To know that it's paid down and paid off by the time you get there, it might be a nice feeling for people. So I love it. I think it's a good idea. I'm surprised they don't already do it.
It must be a reason.
What was your take? Did you like, you love it or hate it?
I love it because I've always talked with people and those who have said, you know, I need to save my money because it's so expensive to take my family down there and I have to book a month, a year ahead. And I've said, you know, every month, just pay one more night's stay. And, you know, if you're staying 12 nights and you book a year ahead, you're doing well. But if you usually people are there 5 to 7 days, and you know, if you pay the first night when you make the reservation, then over the next 8 to 9 months, every month just pay one night. And you know, I've always said that for years, so I thought this is pretty much painless. You don't see it, you know. So
yeah, I mean, a lot of people do things like this. I mean, you do a payment plan. Like I've seen even like so I buy these little things, and it's called Sideshow Collectibles, and then you buy these, they're pretty expensive models or things like that. Like, of course, mine are always R2-D2, but there's a payment plan there. So if you want to spend, you know, $130 on this piece, they offer you an ability to pay it in 3 payments, which lessens the blow, you know, than that big lump sum. And sometimes people, you know, they earn, you know, their monthly paychecks, and they want to set aside everything for their thing. I love it. I think it's a really good.
I pay my insurance, my car, my home,
yeah,
insurance that way, and I pay my cell phone that way, and I pay 1 or 2 utilities that way. So I mean, that's something I don't have to worry about. You know,
plus, I mean, it's a win-win for Disney as well, because they're guaranteeing, you know, that sale. You know, if you're in, you're in. You know, not many people, unless there's something tragic going on, are going to skip on that vacation if they've already sunk in, you know, $1,000, $2,000 into it.
Right.
You know, so I like it. Well done.
And well done we are with this episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. But Chris and I have more love it or shove it topics to discuss, and we'll do so on the next episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. So for Chris Eliopoulos and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own. bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.